from Edible Radio, your loyal to local voice of edible communities. This is Edible Travel. And now here's your host, Kate Manchester.
Hi, everybody. It's Kate Manchester, and you're listening to Edible Travel on Edible Radio. Today, we're talking with Mary Smith. She is the publisher and editor of Edible Alaska. After spending about 10 years marketing seafood, Smith joined her husband on board a 50-foot freezer troller in Southeast Alaska. And they now market their frozen at sea King and Co. salmon through Springline Seafood. Smith has an associate's degree from the Culinary Institute of America and a bachelor's from Northland College. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Kate. Great to be here.
So I just want to talk a little bit about your career as a fisherwoman. And what that looks like and how you came to Edible, just briefly before we move on to Alaska.
Sure. Well, my husband has been fishing commercially in Alaska for 40 seasons. The last 7 seasons, I have worked with him. So I spent one season working as his deckhand, doing some long lining for halibut. And then the last 5 years, we've worked more together on board our boat, the Virga. We are trawlers, so we're catching wild salmon by hook and line. We generally are fishing in Southeast Alaska, so we can fish from the Canadian border all the way north to Yakutat in regulated areas. And generally, our season runs, we do a little bit of spring fishing in May and June, and the height of the season is kicks off on July 1st with our Summer King opener and then rolls, into October, although trollers are fishing now. Dave and I are not currently fishing, devoting our time to selling the fish we caught this summer and working on Edible. So I've been a fan of Edible magazine for, gosh, as long as I can honestly remember, back to when I was marketing seafood in Chicago. So Edible Chicago was one of the first magazines I was introduced to, and then have always sought them out as I traveled through the States. Just a wonderful resource. And I always was looking forward to somebody starting Edible Alaska. Turns out that somebody was me.
And we're so happy that it's you, because I think you guys bring so much to the table. So let me ask you, I have never been to Alaska. I'm sure a lot of people haven't been to Alaska, but one of the things that you're doing is really shining a light on all the wonderful things there are to eat, some of the traditions, customs. As a first-time visitor to Alaska, what do I need to know? What would I need to know? Where would I go? What would I eat? You know, I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yeah. Well, as I thought about that question, it made me laugh a little bit, almost the way the reality of publishing a magazine that covers the entire state causes some people to laugh, just because Alaska, as you know, is absolutely gigantic. So, you know, 3 times the size of Texas, and we just have one magazine trying to touch on the entire state. And so as I thought about someone traveling to Alaska, I thought it might be easier to break the state down into some sort of sections. A lot of times this is how we look at the state ourselves. And so a lot of people start their vacations by taking a cruise to Alaska. It's a wonderful way to enjoy the beautiful coastal areas of this great state. And so I thought I would just start by talking a little bit about Southeast Alaska. And that's a great place to take a cruise. It's a wonderful way for people of all ages and abilities to really enjoy a lot of great spots in the state. I also happen to call Sitka home base for fishing. And so I thought I'll just kick it off with Sitka. Like many towns in Southeast Alaska, you know, Sitka, it has a strong commercial fishing base. And so it's a wonderful place to enjoy local seafood. One of our favorite places to eat in Sitka is Ludwig's. Ludwig's is on the fancy side. It's a wonderful place to do a celebration. But the great thing about Ludwig's is that they also have an upstairs wine bar, which is a great place to enjoy their delicious chowder. And then they operate a little sort of food cart at the Sitka Science Center. So it's a great way to go and learn a little bit about the coastal environment, and then you can grab a cup of chowder there at the Science Center. So it's a fun place to experience the best of Sitka. One of our large hotels in Sitka is called the Westmark, and they have a great restaurant there at the Westmark. One of the cool things that the Westmark does for people that are coming there to do some recreational fishing is if you catch a king salmon or you catch a halibut, you can bring it back to the Westmark, and they'll cook it up for you family style with a variety of sides so you can enjoy a fresh fish that you or someone in your group caught that night right at the hotel. That's really fun.
That's fun.
And the Westmark Bar is also home to our favorite bartender in the state, and that's Ramon. And no trip to Sitka would be complete without one of Ramon's famous mojitos. If you get there at the right time of year, he makes a great one that features wild salmon berries.
Definitely, oh my the best gosh. Drink in town. Okay, that's, I'm not sure about that, but I would be game to try it.
Definitely. But we also have a brewery in Sitka, the Baranoff Island Brewery Company. And if you want a real local treat, you can sample their Sitka Spruce Tip Ale. So that's a beer brewed with locally harvested spruce tips, a real local seasonal treat.
Wow.
Elsewhere around Southeast, Juneau is the capital of Alaska, and they have an amazing food and beverage scene there in Juneau. Lots of stuff happening. Home of the iconic Alaskan Brewing Company. You can visit the brewery there, sample a variety of their beers, including some that you can only try at the brewery. So that's always really fun. We did a little look into dining in Juneau. So I'm not going to spend too much time on the interview talking about it. I'll just suggest readers can check out our website. And another suggestion is if you're going to be visiting Juneau, check out the Juneau Food Tours. It's run by a great local foodie, Midgey Moore. She is incredibly knowledgeable about all things food in Alaska, and her food tours are a great way to take some time and just kind of let her guide you around Juneau. Nice. Juneau is also home to a really amazing and newly renovated Alaska State Museum. Definitely worth a visit, and it's a great way to learn a little bit more about some historical looks into Alaska's seafood industry, so you can learn a little bit about some of the older fisheries and canning history of the state. And it's also a great place to learn more about native culture and learn about some more traditional hunting, fishing, and preservation techniques. So definitely, if you're in Southeast and you're in Juneau, checking out the museum is a highlight.
A must.
Absolutely. And plenty of places to eat if you work up an appetite. I just want to pop around Southeast a little bit more. We always recommend, you know, going a little further afield if you have the opportunity. There's some great tiny little towns spread along the coastline there. Tenneke Springs is one of our favorites with a great public hot spring that you can enjoy. Yakutat is another great little fishing town there in Southeast Alaska. And Hoonah, one of our favorite places. A lot of cruise ships stop in Hoonah. They have a wonderful setup where you, when you get off the boats, that you can enjoy some of Hoonah's historic heritage, great exhibits there. And then if you want to come a little further into town, there's some great little dining options in Hoonah, along with the new Icy Straits Brewery that opened last summer. So there's a little brewery in Hoonah. Always fun to check that out.
Nice.
And then one more little note on another sort of the last stop as you move out of Southeast would be Haines. You can start to access the road system from Haines. We have a great distillery in Haines that's producing probably my favorite gin, 50 Fathoms Gin, there at Port Chilcoot Distillery in Haines. Another great stop on your Southeast tour.
That's just Southeast. And now I wanted to ask you a question as you were talking. You just said where it moves into the local road system. And so can we just talk about, just quickly before we go on to the rest of the state, what's the best time to visit and how is it getting, like, say if I were to come in the wintertime, how would you get around?
Yeah. You know, you can travel around the state in the wintertime. You know, like many places that have a strong tourism economy, you're not going to get to visit 100% of the places that you could in the summer, but still lots of great stuff happening all winter long. Indeed, some things that happen only in the winter. So if you wanted to, say, enjoy the Northern Lights, or if you wanted to experience, you know, dog sledding, even, you know, be there for one of the kind of iconic races like the Iditarod. You know, definitely tons of great stuff to do in the wintertime. If you're on the road system, you know, you would probably want to plan extra time just in case, you know, the weather becomes hazardous to travel, but you can still hop on small flights and move all around the state. I just was traveling up to Anchorage last week and was on the flight with some guys who were heading to a fog neck to do some hunting. So you know, definitely visitors enjoying the best of Alaska all year round.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So other parts of the state, are there other parts that you want to tell us about that we should visit?
So I want to eat. Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of people start their Alaska adventures in Anchorage. You know, so that's Alaska's largest city and a great place to start trips from, especially if you're going to be doing any driving. You know, once you get to Anchorage, again, I always encourage people to start their visit by just spending a little bit of time at one of the great museums that the city has to offer. So when you arrive in Anchorage, you can plan a little bit of time to tour through the Anchorage Museum. They actually have a great restaurant there at the Anchorage Museum called Muse that features local food. Great, you can get some local beer on tap. So, you know, plan an hour, 10 to 11, tour the museum, have lunch at Muse, and it's a great way to kick your visit off. We also have a great museum called the Alaska Native Heritage Center. Again, another place to learn more about traditional hunting and fishing and gathering and more about Alaska's vibrant native culture. Lots of places to eat in Anchorage. It's so hard to come up with a favorite. You know, some casual places that I like to go are the Bear Tooth, Spinard Roadhouse, Tommy's Burgers, if you really just want to pig out on a great burger. If you're looking for something a little bit more sophisticated, you know, probably one of our favorite things to do is head up to the top of the Captain Cook Hotel and enjoy a real treat at the Crow's Nest. So a beautiful view of the city and amazing food up at the Crow's Nest.
And are we talking mostly fish and game, I'm guessing, right? For food?
You know, yeah, you can definitely find a large variety of locally harvested seafood from different areas around the state. You know, but you know, just like anywhere in the country, we're growing a lot. You know, I shouldn't say a lot, but we definitely have a vibrant scene. So you can get Alaska grown beef. You could certainly find some reindeer or, you know, other maybe more exotic meat options on the menu. But we have a, you know, booming agriculture industry, so lots of produce available. So you name it, you can find it local. Another really interesting aspect about Anchorage that I think people find surprising is that it's an incredibly diverse city. In fact, we have a neighborhood, Anchorage, called Mountain View. And Mountain View is the most diverse neighborhood in the United States of America. So it's if you're looking for a culinary adventure and you want to enjoy Filipino food or Samoan food, Somalian food, you can find those things in Anchorage. It's really incredibly diverse.
I don't think that anybody would expect that. I wouldn't expect that. So that's great.
It's a wonderful surprise. Yeah. You know, and like many cities, Anchorage is home to a variety of breweries. One thing that I would recommend to people is to check out Big Swig Tours. It's a great little business that does tours of the local breweries. So it's a fun way to enjoy a local knowledge and knock a few breweries off in one little trip. So definitely check out Big Swig Tours. And then we just had a cidery open in Anchorage. That was really exciting over the summer, called Double Shovel Cider. So they're producing great ciders in Anchorage, you know, so great option for someone who may be looking to have a gluten-free sort of small brewery experience. Check out Double Shovel Cider. They have a nice little tasting room. Great cider.
Nice. And I'm sure local apples, too.
You know, they are doing their best to source local apples when possible. Alaska is not known for apple production, but there are people growing local apples, and there's, you know, sort of, you know, a small underground scene of people picking and making cider. Double Shovel is the first kind of to take it commercial, but they're definitely planning long term, looking to invest into local orchards. So that's really exciting for the future.
Nice. Did we cover the whole state?
We still have so much more to talk about. God. But I'll just kind of try to click through it. So from Anchorage, you could north to head towards Fairbanks. I would recommend driving through Palmer, which is, you know, one of the great agricultural regions of the state, and some great food to be found in Palmer. Make a pit stop in Talkeetna. One of my favorite places to stop is the Flying Squirrel Bakery in Talkeetna. And making some great food and drink there. And, you know, continue on your way to the majestic Denali National Park, really a highlight of many people's visits to Alaska, is a couple of days in Denali. While you're there, treat yourself to a dinner at 229 Parks. It's a fabulous restaurant right inside Denali National Park. Fairbanks has a wonderful food scene. You know, we love to eat at the bar at a restaurant called Lavelle's. Great food there, and you can try some local beers on tap. Another highlight just opened in Fairbanks this summer, the Fairbanks Distillery, and they're producing some great vodka made from Alaska-grown potatoes. So you can get a drink and your vegetables
That's
in one
great.
Stop.
There, that is
your drink. Yeah, they have a great tasting room right downtown.
That is fantastic. Alaska-grown potatoes,
you know,
that's great.
Yeah, one of our iconic crop in Alaska, the Alaska potato. You can continue north from, or sort of northeast from Fairbanks to Chena Hot Springs. That's a really unique stop. You can soak in the hot springs, and then you can enjoy a delicious salad. They have an amazing geothermal greenhouse production at Chena Hot Springs. They're growing a variety of vegetables there year-round. It's a great place to go in the winter for unparalleled Northern Lights experience, but it's a fun stop year-round and really interesting agriculture going on there at Chena Hot Springs. That's sort of the end of the main part of the road system heading north, but you can also head south-ish from Anchorage down the gorgeous Kenai Peninsula. Homer is a very popular stop. A lot of people love Homer. It gets a lot of news coverage for its great local food scene. Lots of great things happening in Homer. One of our favorite things about Homer is oyster production. So keep an eye out if you're in Homer for oysters from the Jackaloff Bay Oyster Company. So many good restaurants in Homer. We love the Two Sisters Bakery for breakfast. Cafe Cups is another one of our favorites. And then in Homer, you can head out onto the Spit, enjoy some great dining and shopping out on the Spit. We would definitely recommend La Baleine for a meal. And then a wonderful little gelato company opened out on the Spit this summer called Carmen's. So another great little stop for some homemade gelato. So much more to do on the Kenai Peninsula. I will never be able to cover it all. Seward is another stop on the Kenai for people. You know, great fishing, great local brewery, you know, all kinds of good stuff. It's so hard to cover it all. I still have more. I don't know how our time is.
Well, you know what? I wanted to ask you a couple of things because I know that, again, you mentioned fishing and you mentioned early in the show, you mentioned that, you know, people can catch their own fish. Talk to me just a little bit about that. Like if we were going to come to Alaska and we wanted to go fishing, what are the best times of year to do that? I mean, I'm sure there are several different times a year, depending on what's running. Like, talk to us a little bit about that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think the most important thing is for people to take a look at, you know, what kind of fishing they want to do. I mean, obviously, if you are, you know, a serious recreational fisherman, then you know if you want to do some kind of fly fishing, or if you want to do more like go out on a charter and do some more sort of deep sea fishing. You know, so many of the coastal cities in Alaska offer a variety of fishing experiences, from a half day charter, or you just, you know, are getting up early in the morning, going out and fishing until 11, and very good chance that you're going to catch some fish, some halibut, some king salmon, some rockfish. And then generally the charter will help you get that fish processed and frozen so that you can take it home if you choose. Or like I mentioned, you know, different places have the opportunity where you could eat that fish right there. You know, if you're enjoying Alaska in an RV, which many people do, you can have the opportunity to sort of go fishing yourself and then, you know, process your own fish right there at your RV and have it for dinner. You know, certainly people are doing, you know, a little more self-guided things, you know, beyond hiring or going out on a charter. You could also plan an entire trip on just staying at a lodge that's purely focused on fishing. You know, so some people will come to Alaska for an entire week and do nothing but fish. Again, options for everyone, from half day while you explore all kinds of other things while you're on your trip, or, you know, 5 days of nothing but fishing.
This is fantastic. Mary, I want to thank you so much. Again, Mary is the publisher and editor of Edible Alaska. And you can find Edible Alaska online, or you could subscribe to the magazine. It's not one that you're going to see, you know, really around unless you're in Alaska, but it's a great publication. Mary, you've been at this just about a year now, and you're doing a great job. The magazine is a real treat.
Thanks, Kate.
It really is. It's such a different, Alaska is so different, you know, from so many of our other publications, just, you know, because of where you are. It's certainly different from, you know, Boston or San Francisco, for sure. So many unique flavors, traditions, just really, really interesting and beautiful. So thank you for bringing us Edible Alaska.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I, you know, I missed so many places. We'll run out of time, but if you're going to Kodiak Island, or if you're going to Cordova, you're going as far north as Barrow, or you're visiting Nome, do not hesitate to reach out to us if you have questions, or if you want us to help you learn about having a more unique food or culinary-based trip to Alaska. We're happy to help.
Mary, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks for listening to Edible Travel from Edible Radio, your loyal to local voice of edible communities. For more information, visit ediblefeast.com.